God's with us even in our bad times, our good times, our times we don't feel like it. It's great when we know that He is there for us. Amen? I praise the Lord for that. Those of you that were here last night heard me talk about something I seen in front of the New York Times or the New York Post or whatever it was. And it had a thing after this last storm went through, not the big one, but this last one, the nor'easter went up the coast. It had on the front page, God hates us. And it was just a big headline, and they showed it on the news, and they said, and it was said, God hates us. Now, and just to think about that, you know what, and I told them last night, and I'm going to preach a little bit about this today, is God does not hate us when things are going wrong in our lives. Do we understand that? Do we truly comprehend what God is about? God's not about hating us. God hates the sin that's in people's lives. But I want you to know this morning, the God that I serve, He loves you. I don't care where you're at today in your life. God loves you. Amen? He loves you. He doesn't hate anyone. I'm going to be in Romans, the 8th chapter. I'm going to start with the 31st verse. I'm going to go down to the 39th verse. Romans 8, 31 through to 39. If you want to read along with me, please. Let's stand for the reading of His Word this morning. Romans 8, 31 through 39. What shall we then say to these things? God, if God be for us, who can be against us? Amen? Amen. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay to anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or perils, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake, we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, oh, I love this, nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Man, that should make you want to shout right there, shouldn't it? Amen. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord this morning. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, Father, we come with thanksgiving in our heart. I thank You, Father, for this day in November, Lord. I thank You for the opportunity to stand before this congregation, to stand behind this sacred desk this morning. I pray, Father, that, Lord, that You would use me in a way to be pleasing to You, Lord. I pray that hearts would be receptive here this morning, Lord. I pray, Father, that Your Spirit would move amongst us this morning, Lord. I pray, Father, for that. I pray that You would touch our hearts this morning, as only You can do. I want to give You the praise. I want to give You the glory for it all. In Jesus' holy and precious name we ask, and amen. You may be seated. Thank You, Father. Thank You. So, is God for us, or is God against us? That's the question. Yeah, He is for us. You're absolutely right. I know that there would be those that say that in the bad times, you kind of wonder if God is for us or not. That's an easy, but in the easy times, it's kind of easy for us to think, well, hey, God's for us, is He not? We've all been through that, have we not? Where we face and things like life is going great, everything going the way that we want it, and you know what? God's for us, right? That's what we think. Or when we're going through the bad times and it seems like we're on a flat of our backs and things are not just going the way we want it, it's easy for us to say in our hearts that you know what? We don't know if God's for us or not. Maybe He's against us now. It's easy for us to say that sometimes. You know that we, some people read verse 31 and think God is for me in this situation, but maybe He's not in that situation. You know where they get it from? Because that one little word there, and it says in verse 31, it said, what shall we then say to these things if God be for us? Sometimes it seems to take that little word if and say and apply it to everything that happens in our life. Well, you know what? If it's a good situation, He's with us. But if it's not, He's against us. But I want to get into that word here a little bit. But what does if mean? It is asking the question, I'm not so sure what God is doing. It's why I'm not so sure what he's doing. Is Paul making a statement? I want to ask you that here. A claim that's based on all that we know, that God is great and wonderful. God is for us. Amen. That's the statement I want to make. That's the statement Paul's trying to say. God is for us no matter what situation we are in. God is for us. Yes, if you're a child of God, God is for you. He is on your side this morning. I want you to understand that. I want you to, if you can't comprehend anything else I tell you this morning or preach to you this morning, understand that the God that I serve, the true and the living God, is on your side this morning. If you don't take nothing else from that, He is on your side no matter what you're going through this morning. He is there with you. God is with you. Praise God. Christians, God is over. He does not hate us. He doesn't turn His back on us. He doesn't close His eyes to us in trials. God is on our side. Psalms 3, and I'm going to read that to you. Psalms 3, it says, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Salah. But thou, O God, art a shield for me, my glory and their lifter of mine head. I cry unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. I lay me down and slept, and I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set up themselves against me round and about. Arise, O Lord, save me. O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. I want you to understand, God is with you. He was with the psalmist David. He is with us today. He is on your side this morning. He's on your side. Praise God. Listen, take that word if, and that 31st verse there, and you can circle it. And what it means, what it means in the Greek, what it's literally saying is, since God is on our side. That's what it's saying. You can circle that and mark out from it. I've got it in my Bible, and I've got since marked right there. Since God is on my side this morning, it isn't if, it is since God is on our side this morning, brother and sister. That should make us want to just say, praise His holy name and thank Him because He is there for us this morning. There's no doubt about it. Listen, He is on our side this morning. Since God is against us, who can be against us this morning? I want to ask you that. You know what? Who can be against the Creator? There's only one individual that's never been created, and that's God Himself, because God has always been there. Amen? God has always been there. He created. Listen, the old devil, he's over in Revelation. If you go over to Revelation 21, 7 through 9, what did the old devil try to do? He tried to put himself up against God. He tried to overthrow God, and he was a created being. Guess where that got him? He was cast down here. Do you realize there are men on this earth today that try to put their own ways, to try to put their own thoughts, to try to go against God? And you know what? They're created beings also. And do you realize what that's going to get them one of these days? I want you to know something. Whatever my Bible tells me, it says, since God before us, who can be against us? There is absolutely, positively nothing on this side of heaven other than God that can be against us. And I want you to know God is on our side if we're Christians. Nothing. There's nothing. The angels, the devil and all his demons, I don't care who they are, they can come against us with all that they got. But if God be for us, they cannot have no power over us. None. They cannot have any over us. The devil lost. He tried. Men have believed that, and they have failed. The Creator is greater than the created. It'll always, that is a law you can write down, you can say, the Creator is always going to be greater than the created. And our God is a creator. You know what? Our God's still creating. Our God's still creating. You know, they tell us this universe is expanding, and it's expanding out there, these universes. I want you to know my God's still creating. He's still creating. Praise God. He is doing that. Now, for us to Suppose the devil and all his minions are against us? Big deal. Suppose that the masses of all this world is against us? Big deal. God is on our side this morning. It matters not. It matters not. It's clear of all these things. Since God be for us, who can be against us? Look at verse 37 in that same chapter I just read there a little bit ago. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. I tell you what, we are conquerors this morning. We are conquerors in all that God has given us. It tells us that. Jesus tells us in Luke 10:19, Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing, listen to me, nothing shall by any means hurt you. He's not just talking to just the angels. You know who he's talking to? He's talking to us as Christians. And I want you to know we tread on scorpions. We step on serpents every day that we walk out here in this world. There are those out there that mean to do us harm. And I want you to know, let them try all that they want. They cannot hurt us as long as we stay within Jesus Christ. They cannot hurt us. There will be no spiritual attack. The attack will try to undermine these precious truths in our life. I want you to know that. Spiritual attacks are coming, and they will try to undermine, to knock us back on our heels. That's what the spiritual attacks are about. That's whenever they come at us the way that they do. They're trying to knock us back. And there's a person in here who hasn't battled things in their life sometimes. Your life could be going just along great. And you think it's great. And wham! Something happens and it knocks you back and takes you back. But you know what? God was still there. If you look at it, God was still there through it all. We were still there. You know what? I've had people say, Pastor, everything's against us. Pastor Dave, you know, I'm buried up to my neck in things that are against me. Debt, family, troubles, health issues, you name it. But Paul's words in Romans tells us, since God be for us, who can be against us? If those things are coming against you, and the devil's coming against you, and this world's coming against you, listen to me, according to Paul, and I believe the word of God more than I believe this world out here, I want you to understand that. If God be for us, those things are come against us, right? But they cannot destroy the soul. They cannot do that. They cannot have no touch. They can't touch our souls. They cannot do that. And I'll tell you what, we need to heed to that. We have spiritual enemies, brothers. This is Veterans Day. I know that. And I want to ask you, they've already mentioned all the veterans in here. I'll tell you what, if you're a veteran that ever was put down in the middle of combat. I don't know if any of you have ever served in combat. Probably some of you have in here. Was you ever in combat? Did you ever serve in combat? Any of the other veterans in here have served in combat? I'll tell you what. If you're ever dropped down in combat, you know what they tell me? The enemy's not out there to do you any good, right? They're trying to harm you. They're trying to kill you. Am I right? The moment that you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're put into a battlefield, folks. Do you understand that? You're dropped right down into a battlefield. God didn't put you there unprepared. But I want you to know something. The enemy is there to do you harm. The enemy is there to do your family harm. And that's where it behooves us to understand that if God be for us, who can be against us? Because the enemy is there. He's not there to help you out. He's just not there to do that. The moment you get the devil and all his bunch, the world, the flesh, that's why God equips us like he does over in Ephesians. And we say this scripture all the time because this is true. In Ephesians 6:10-11, finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, and put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That's why I'm telling you, when you're dropped down into this battle, God wants you to put on that whole armor. That's why I'm telling you, God is for us. Who can be against us if we keep the whole armor on us? Who can do that? Well, there's just no way. You've heard God loves you and has a plan in your life? Have you heard that? I believe God loves you and has a plan in your life. Well, then you better believe this too. At the same time, Satan hates you, and he has a horrible plan for your life. He does. Don't misunderstand that. If God's got a plan in your life, Satan's got a plan also. And he's trying with all that he's got. He wants to distract you. He wants to disrupt you. He wants to destroy you if he can. And unfortunately, I've seen too many people's lives that have been destroyed by him, and they have followed his plan to the T, and their lives have been destroyed because they did not keep a hold of Jesus' hand. They did not. He wants that. He wants to. He wants us as Christians. Now, I believe this. And you know what? As Christians sometimes, he may not have totally destroyed our life, but I'll tell you what he'll do. As Christians sometimes, he wants us to be weak. He wants us to be feeble. And he wants us to be ineffective. And I'll tell you what, there are people letting him do that to them each and every day because of the way we walk. And we don't grab a hold of the fact that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We don't grab a hold of that. We better grab a hold of it. We better understand. We better hold our heads high and say, I am a child of the King. I'm a child of the living God. I am. You are if you're a Christian. We are that. Just because I'm a preacher makes me no different than you in that aspect. I had to accept the blood of Jesus like you have to accept the blood of Jesus. And when we did, praise God, when I got up out of there, I knew I was a child of the King. Praise the Lord. If you're not confident, and whatever you do, I'm going to ask you this morning. If you are not confident in whatever you do, you could not be an effective preacher. You could not be an effective teacher. You could not be an effective doctor. You could not be effective in whatever you do if you are not confident in what you do and believe in what you do. There's no difference in serving God and being a Christian. I am confident this morning to know that I serve a God that loved me, that the Spirit lives within me, and I know beyond a shadow of a doubt. Know that. Who can be against me if God's for me? I know that this morning. I know that Satan does not want us to be confident. He doesn't want that. He wants us relying on others. He doesn't want us going to church. He doesn't want us reading our Bibles. He doesn't want us praying. And he hates us trying to reach the gospel to a lost and a dying world most of all. He hates that. Listen to me, parents. Listen. Keep on preaching to your kids about Jesus. Keep on preaching to your neighbors, folks, about Jesus. Keep on preaching to your co-workers about Jesus, folks. You want to make the devil mad? Just keep right on doing it. Just keep right on doing it and telling him. They may look at you and think you're some kind of wacko Christian. Let them believe it. Praise God this morning. Call me wacko. Call me what you will. But I want you to know this morning, I believe that Jesus lives. And if I believe he lives, I'll tell you, I'm going to serve him with all that I got. I want to do that. He wants our marriages ruined. He wants that. He wants our kids scattered about and thrust over everything. He wants all that. As far as you're concerned, he wants you as miserable and decrepit as possible because that's Satan's job to do in your life this morning. He wants that. On the day you accept Jesus into your heart, you're enlisted as a soldier, folks. You're enlisted. You're put right there. You're right up there. You're a foot soldier, and you're heading right down the path for what Jesus wants. You declare war on the world. You declare war on the flesh. And I want to tell you, you declare war on Satan himself the moment that you're saved. You are. Paul told Timothy. Listen to what he told Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses, folks. Fight the good fight. Don't let the devil bring it to you. You take it to him. Take the fight to him. Praise God. The good fight is worth every ounce of our energy to fight. I'm telling you, as a Christian, every ounce that we can put into it, I want you to know it's worth fighting because we serve the God that we serve on. We're on the winning team. I want you. We understand it. Souls are at stake. Numerous that people are still getting saved, folks. Listen to me. Like Randy said in his teaching, he said, we need to go out and get to those people who are lost out there and try to get them in church. Why? Because I believe God can still save. I believe that there are people that can still be saved. I believe that there are marriages that can still be saved. I believe that there are people out there, drunks and alcoholics and all the other things, drug addicts, that can still be touched and brought to Jesus Christ and their lives turned around. If I didn't believe it, I'd take this old Bible of mine and just throw it in the corner because I don't have confidence to believe that God can still save. I'll tell you what good am I doing? What good am I doing? Despite all that, Satan can't touch the real you. Do you understand me? Satan can't touch the real you. The real you is your soul. One of these days, the real you is going to either heaven or hell. Now, he can touch his physical body, and he can make us miserable down here on this earth. But I want you to know, he can't touch the real you if you keep your hand in Jesus Christ. He can't touch it. He can't touch it. He will hassle you physically. He'll shout doubts in your mind, temptations, distresses. 1 John 4:4, ye are God's little children and have overcome them because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I want to say that again, folks. I want you to understand that. I'll tell you, whenever he shoots his stuff at you, God, don't think that God hates you and doesn't love you. Listen to me. God loves you. He loves you so much. You know, this trial you're going through, maybe it's there to help you make it through one day. Maybe it's there to help you grow stronger. I'll tell you, life situations can be against us also. Life can be awful hard and bad at times. There are sorrows. There are distresses. There are diseases. And you mix in a sinful mistake, and life can get real heavy real fast. Am I right? Long have you been down this path? I know you know what I'm talking about. You know, you get on all these things, and you throw in something else, and you're in a sinful mistake, and your life can get very hard very fast. It can do that. I'll tell you what, verse 35 tells us, and I love this, it says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? I want to ask you that. Who can separate us from the, shall tribulations? Listen, or distress, or persecution, or famines, or nakedness, or perils, or sword? None of those things can separate you from the love of God. None of those things can do that. They can't do that. Listen, there's plenty that hinders us from loving Jesus. Christ loves us well, it will never change. But listen to me. What it's telling us there is, our love sometimes changes. Our love sometimes fails. But I want you to know something this morning. Jesus Christ's love will never fail. It's always there no matter what happens. His love is there. Our love sometimes can fade. Our love can. I want to tell you something. Jesus' love is there. It's there. Praise God. It's there. Yeah, I tell you, there's in the world, amen. Life situations can also be against us. Also, they can do all kind of things to us. Listen to me. No matter what the situation, Jesus Christ loves us. He loves us. Jesus' love will never change. So when diseases and distress and sorrows come, Jesus is still saying, I'm still here, loving on you. I'm going to tell you what. God, Jesus is loving on you this morning. Do you understand that? You heard that expression? You know, loving on you? I want you to know Jesus is loving on you. He's loving on you like knowing. I'll tell you, he loves you so much it isn't funny. I want to say something. This is something I want to throw in there. And this just comes to me. Young men, young women in here, teenagers, young kids, I want to tell you something. I want to say this to you. One of these days you may be faced with a situation where you know what, somebody says they love you, and they may want to take advantage of you one of these days. I'm going to tell you something. If they love you, they're not going to take advantage of you. Amen? If they love you, they're going to wait till they marry you. Amen? That's what's going to happen. I want you to understand that. Jesus Christ loves on you unlimitedly. Jesus Christ loves you to no end. But I want to tell you something this morning. I want to tell you this right to your face, right up front. Don't believe all love is love. Sometimes it's just somebody wanting to take advantage of you and to use you. And that's not what it's about. Jesus Christ would never use you. Amen? He's that kind of God. Life can chase you to sin. You can be standing there, but not to condemn, but to love you back to Him. Listen, I don't care if you've made a mistake in your life. I don't care what's happened in your life. Maybe you've already made that mistake. I want you to know Jesus Christ is still standing there. His hands are still out, and He's still loving on you. Because He wants to bring you back. He wants you to understand He loves you. He loves you. We can be our own worst enemy sometimes, folks. We can be that way. That's for sure. There is a constant tug between the spirit and the flesh in our lives. Constantly. This preacher right here, this preacher here sees it. I feel it all the time. Constantly. There's a tug between the flesh and between the spiritual side of it. There is. Over in Romans chapter 7, it talks about the flesh that we will all deal with. You can read it later. Matthew 26:41 tells us, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Right? That's what it tells us. Galatians 5:17, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are the contrary to the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. There are times in my life when I battle the flesh, and I want you to know there are times that, you know what, I want to do things, but I battle the flesh sometimes, and it's hard for me in spiritual-filled life to try to do the things that God wants me to do because I'm constantly battling the flesh in my life. I am. I'm a preacher, and I battle it. And you say, well, you are the minister. You should. Yes, I do. I battle lots of things in my life. There's lots of things you will never know, and you don't need to know what I battle in my life, but I can tell you that I battle them. And I want you to know that I have to pray. I have to get on my knees. I tell you, I have to go back to this scripture all the time over there in verse 31, where it says, if God be for me, who can be against us? I have to say that. I have to go back to that. God's word tells us in Galatians 6:9, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. I want you to know, as I go through this Christian walk, there are times in my life I do grow weary. I grow tired. The battle, the cost of fighting and battling that goes on between my flesh and the spirit. But I tell you what, if my Bible tells me if I don't grow weary, I'm going to reap rewards one of these days. I can't wait for it. I tell you, by the way, one of the greatest things we could do is memorize Scripture. And why do I say that? Well, let's read Psalms 119:11. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Your words have I hidden in my heart, not my words, but it tells me your words, and that's God's words I've hidden in my heart. Why? Because whenever you're faced with a situation, the Holy Spirit's got ammunition to use. Amen? The Holy Spirit can draw that words out of there, thou shalt not, whatever it may be, or you can't gossip, and you can't do that. He brings the Scripture out to our hearts, and it shows us if we memorize it and have it in our hearts. It tells us what it gives you. John 14:26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things, and being all things, to remembrance that whatsoever I have said unto you. Amen. If you ever needed Scripture and it's come, raise your hand. I can do that. Oh yeah. I tell you, there's been time in my life I've needed Scripture, and I want you to know it's came. It's came because the Holy Spirit has drawn it right there to me. It's came. It's came. Praise God. So all these things that we may be against us are no match for God. Do you understand that? Nothing that comes against us is no match for God. Don't look at the size of the enemy. Don't look at it. Don't look at the impossibility of the situation. Don't look at that either. Because I want you to know, we lose sight of God's perspective, God's power, and God's purpose when we start looking at the enemy and get our eyes off God. It's very simple. Remember whenever Peter was walking on the water after Jesus, and you all know the scripture, we've heard this thousands of times, probably hundreds of times. But the only time Peter got in trouble is when he took his eyes off of who? Jesus. He took his eyes off Jesus. And I'll tell you, the only time we get ourselves in trouble is when we take our eyes off Jesus. That's when, don't look at this. Since God before us, who could be? There are times when we're not in control. Are you that type of person that thinks that you've got to be in control of every situation in your life? There are going to become times that you're not in control. And what happens whenever a person that is a control freak is not in control, they start, oh man, I got to get myself back in control. And you know what they do? They lose focus of the God that we serve. Because our God that we serve is the one that's in control. Amen? We're not in control of this thing. We're not. When we're not in control, instead of trusting God, we try to trust our own merits, our own self, and it does not work. Praise God, we need to get ourselves back to order. Since God is for us, who or what can be against us, even out of our control? Even out of our control situations, God is for us, folks. He's there. He's there for us. If you want to need proof God loves us and cares for us, look at verse 32 again. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Tell you what. I got that. That scripture's marked in yellow in my Bible. I mark scriptures like that in Bible. The one who freely gave his son for us, for me, for you, how would he not freely give us all things? How would he not freely do that to us? Praise God. That's the kind of God that we serve. That's why I'm telling you this morning. That's why I'm saying to you that verse 31, it says there, if God be for us, who can be against us? Since God is for us, who can be against us? There's nothing that can be against us. Nothing. If God was really against us, would He have done that? Would He have given His own Son that you and I could? No, He wouldn't have. He wouldn't have done that. Romans 5:8, but God commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know what? For the child molesters, for the rapers, for all those out there that we think are totally, totally ungodly, out-of-the-world people, or just simply for those that just do not want to believe. My Bible says Christ died for sinners. Before they even knew they needed Him. He died for them. I want to tell you something before me. God loves us, folks. Not like the New York Post or Times, whatever it was, says, God hates us. God does not hate anybody. But I do believe it's time for this country to awaken, open its eyes. I do believe it's time for this country, and I don't know that it will. I say this all the time. It's time for they do. But you know what? I believe it's going to wax worse and worse, as the Bible says. But us as Christians, we need to get on fire again. We need to get on fire again and take it out there to a lost and dying world and let them know the time is at hand.